Freaking
All right, I turned my camera off so that I don't get distracted. So if I start looking weird, say
not
something.
going live. Oh,
Because otherwise I'll do that thing where I like kind of stare at like, you know, what I look like, even though I'm not that self-absorbed.
no worries at all. Now let's make sure it's got the chat there. We are on public, which is where we're supposed to be. Perfect. All right. Live. Perfect. All right. We are there. Go ahead and post this. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I get everything set together, welcome to episode number two of Dockside at the Bay. I am Vinny. This is not Christy, obviously. She's for the other podcast. This is Kim. She's my new co-host for Dockside at the Bay. And Kim, welcome. How are you doing today?
Huh, I'm doing just fine, Vinny. I'm really excited that you and I are going to be able to co-host this. I have seen The Bay, but it's been a while. I was actually in the process of starting up a rewatch when I learned that you were looking for a co-host, and I was like, "Well, what the hell? I can rewatch and kind of talk about it at the same time and kind of get a little in depth with it," which I love getting in depth about when it comes to chatting soaps. I've been like that. I started watching them, so. But yeah, I'm super excited to kick off, you know, start watching the beginning with you, and then just, you know, get through the rest of the series.
Fantastic. And again, for those of you who are watching, thank you for tuning in. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. A couple things to get out of the way at the very beginning. This is obviously a new podcast. I did drop episode one last week, which is about the Bay, the beginning, episode one. And now we're going on to episode two. The Bay, for those of you who are not aware, is a basically a soap opera, although it's not on regular television. The main show itself is on Peacock, Amazon Prime, Tubi TV, Popstar TV. I believe all the newer episodes are on Popstar.
Kind of all over the place.
Yes, they are. The Bay, the beginning, where we're starting, is actually on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. I choose Amazon Prime because I hate ads. So I watched the ad-free version. However, before we actually get started, for those of you who did watch earlier today, you're probably getting sick of me because it's my fourth podcast in 2 days. But earlier today, I did go do a squared circle news because there was a lot of news in WWE land. As not only did The Rock join the board of directors for TKO Group, which is fantastic considering he's just a fantastic. Not only a wrestling lineage, but also he's he's an entrepreneur and he brings a lot of stuff to that table. But also the biggest news is that WWE Raw starting in January 2025 will be streaming exclusively on Netflix. So it's moving from linear cable television on the USA Network to Netflix, and that's going to be a big thing. Earlier today, if you missed that, I did go over that, but go back in the archive and watch Squared Circle News, as always. So Kim, before we get into episode two, you did say that you had watched The Bay quite a while ago. Did you get started watching The Bay the beginning at all, or is this your first time watching that series?
So I kind of did it backwards. It was kind of weird how it worked out. Initially, I found the series. I want to say I watched it through. I think I watched it through Amazon initially, and I watched like you know the episodes like you know main kind of the main show, not necessarily the beginning. I didn't even really know that it existed until I got through. I binged through the seven. I think it was six or seven seasons throughout at that point, maybe six.
Yep.
Binged that, and then it was just like. Well, is there more? I want more. So I'm digging. And then I came to learn that there was, you know, the Bay the Beginning series. And I went and kind of backtracked through. So I actually watched, you know, the kind of the main series that was on Peacock or, you know, Amazon, what have you, that's more accessible. And then I went back and kind of uncovered the other Bay the Beginning episodes. So that was kind of fun because it was like, you could tell it was like a little bit more. You know, it was definitely in that web series sort of low budget sort of style, you know, and it obviously take it, you know, filmed I want to say like 2010, 2011, yeah. Here and there. So it was kind of interesting going back in and just seeing like its origin story in a sense, you know, and just kind of seeing where everything kind of started out versus where everything kind of wound up, and you know, right. Just kind of an interesting journey with it. So,
yeah, no, you're exactly right, because that's what it was. And for those of you who don't know, I had, you know, made the announcement a couple of weeks ago that I was starting Dockside at the Bay, and I was going to start with just on Peacock episode one of season one. It was actually the people that run the Bay, the series X account, Twix, as I call it, the Twix account, that said, can we recommend you start with the Bay, the beginning? And when I read the Wikipedia page for the Bay, because I originally learned about the Bay from one of my other podcasts that I'm on, Take Two Radio, Soaps in Review, and the, you know, Anthony and Candace there said, watch the Bay, start watching the Bay, get into the Bay, because they were nominated for numerous daytime Emmys, and mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, this is something new. It's not on linear television, so I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and find it, and I did, and I absolutely fell in love with it, and it was great. But going through the Wikipedia page, when it says, you know, certain people were on from 2010 to 2014, and there's a four-year gap, and I'm thinking, okay, well, season one's 2010, season two, and they were telling me how it started as a web series and how the first season was actually put together from the web episodes, and they went ahead and, you know, just kind of pieced them together in chapters. Come to find out, though, the web series, like you said, actually became The Bay, the beginning. So mm-hmm. What you see on Tubi TV and Amazon Prime, The Bay, the Beginning, that's actually the web series that was originally, I believe, on YouTube, or, you know, one of those.
That's where it kind of kicked off.
Yeah.
So, and I have to say, I mean, The Bay, the one that's like, you know, more, you know, accessible, the one that's on Peacock, that the theme song for that is great. Don't get me wrong. But I do like the old school kind of soapy feel that. Talked about this previously from the web series from Bay the Beginning.
Yeah,
I don't know, I felt like that just style of opening credits and that music in the background, it makes me think of like old, like All My Children or One Life to Live or something like that. Just kind of like style of opening, the music itself, it's kind of a throwback, which I liked. So both theme songs are catchy, I have to say.
They are. But you're right, the Bay the Beginning has that, you know, instrumental style of soap opera esque opening, and even the you're right, the production of it. So I mean, we're gonna kind of jump into things here for episode two of The Bay, the Beginning. You can find it on Tubi TV and also on Amazon Prime, as I've said. It is I believe it's a 13 episode, either 10 or 13 episode season.
And I want to say 12. I could be wrong, but
And, you know, we're going to go episode by episode. This is going to be a weekly show. It may, you know, this show itself, a podcast, may be a half hour because it's a half hour show. But either way, we're going to kind of get granular. We're going to get into it and, you know, go from there. So we start off the episode of Sarah having a nightmare. And she's having a nightmare about, you know, a woman holding a baby. It turns out to be a doll. And we come to find out, because of the events of what happened in episode one, where, you know, Pete's in the hospital after having a seizure. They're talking about the fact that he took a lot of drugs and that's what caused the seizure. And he doesn't remember, or he thinks that Sarah is not his mother.
Yeah. It's a lot. Pretty heavy.
Yes. Very heavy. Very heavy. And we come to find out that, you know, he thinks this woman, Claire, is her mother, or is his mother. So that's who Sarah is having the nightmare about, you know, the woman that she took Peter from, because Peter was, you know, a child when Sarah came into his life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we just come to find out that, Sarah comes in and as you move through the actual, you know, the actual series, you come to find out more about Sarah's backstory, because I think it's in episode or in season three of the Bay series, where, we actually meet Peter's father and what happened. I guess from what I've heard, and maybe you could fill it in for me, but Sarah got amnesia after she gave birth to Peter. Is that correct?
I believe that that's kind of what they in the previous episode when they kind of have that introduction spirits
Yeah.
sequence, just lay everything out there. The amnesia is mentioned there. I can't remember. I can't pinpoint exactly where the reveal is, but I do want to say it falls somewhere in that timeline where we kind of get more of that origin story and what exactly happened. But yeah, they do reference the fact that yes, she gave amnesia. He was taken from her. And we don't necessarily, I mean, it's a little bit murky at this stage, but they do kind of tap back into that later, down the road and detail it out. And yeah, there's a lot of twists.
Yes.
But it's in that scene though, like that opening montage, or not montage, but that opening kind of dream sequence, it's just it was such an eerie way to like kick off the episode, just the way like they the lighting of it and just even the way that they have her just running kind of frantic, kind of desperate. And then like you hear like flies buzzing in the background and all this stuff. It's got like this weird like kind of Southern Gothic horror vibe thing
Yes.
going on. It's very creepy. And like compared to like the way that the previous episode kicked off, where it's just kind of like mockumentary style, it's like
Yes.
they're throwing a lot of different things at us, which is really cool. But just that reveal of the woman holding the doll, even it's just like, ooh, that it gives you like a chill. And then she just starts like raking Sarah over the coals and in this nightmare sequence. It's just it was so like spooky and sinister. And poor Sarah wakes up and she's just like she's looking completely like freaked out and just like jumps out of bed. And it's just like that's a awful way to start your day.
Oh. No, absolutely. I completely agree with you. Especially something as traumatizing as finding out that you have a son and you have to go now confront the people that are raising him and say, hey, this is my son. In episode three, I have watched a little further than just what we're on now, but in episode three of The Bay of the Beginning, we kind of find out more of Peter's origin story and how he comes to become a Garrett.
They definitely do a good job of keeping that mystery going along and having us follow that thread and just kind of because I mean they set a tone for obviously like
Right.
you don't expect like this woman to have like abducted and like been involved and ruined someone's life. Cause
Yeah.
I mean, obviously like, the character of Sarah, it's like, okay, I know she's like a socialite, she's wealthy, her family controls the town. You don't expect her, especially with Mary Beth Evans in the role, to be like just kind of this person that would like, steal a child and a life ruiner. It doesn't, you
Yeah.
don't get. So for that woman to kind of throw that in her face, even in a nightmare, it was just like, what's going on with Sarah?
No, you're absolutely right. And now just kind of sticking with Mary Beth Evans, knowing her from Kayla, knowing her as Kayla from Days of Our Lives, and now you're a Stephen Kayla fan.
Yes, and that will, yes, my Mary Beth Evans love knows no bounds because of my love for Stephen Kayla. So, but.
But how much like it was kind of. It's one of those things where you see somebody in a role for so long, and then all of a sudden, you see them in something different. It's almost like in your head you typecast them as that role. So,
That it's just the way that they present the character though too. I mean, introductory thing, like you don't she's talking about just like kind of the family history and just how like kind of twisted and screwed up they all are. And it's like,
Yes.
oh, there's a lot like just the family dynamics that they set up are just really interesting. And then come to find out that, like, kind of information about Sarah, it's just like, wow, okay, like there's some stuff that's brewing underneath here. I mean, you're very curious from the jump exactly what exactly went down and like did she steal this kid, like what happened there, like
Right.
like what, it sets the tone right away, which I love because it builds that suspense like immediately in the second episode.
Yeah,
So
no, absolutely. I completely agree with you. Moving on, we come to see Will Rail Tagger, who's a fantastic actor. We still miss him on GH. He's playing Will's dad, which I didn't realize that he was Will's dad because they don't show anything like that in the Bay series. So now that you see that, you see him and Will, you know, Will's dad's giving him props out about, you know, being a hero. He helped two people the day before. The one of them was Liana, who had her slit wrists. And then, you know, he brought her to the hospital. And that's something I kind of want to bring up because we see in episode one that Liana and Janice, you know, mother and daughter getting into a fight over Pete. And, you know, she wants, you know, Liana wants to go to the hospital to see Pete and Janice. There's this big feud between, you know, the Ramos family and the Garretts. And we haven't in this. Was that?
Just bad blood there. Something
Yeah.
happened.
There's definitely something that happened, and we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
What it
I
is
mean,
that did
it,
happen.
and it's kind of funny too, because it's like, they show, obviously the show is centered around the Garretts, but you open the episode, like episode one, it kicks it off showing Liana and Janice, and then kind
Are.
of to, you see all like these other families that aren't even necessarily like the big, big, but they're heavily involved, and you can tell from the get-go that they're going to be involved throughout. So it, like, I love how it just establishes, sets up like those kind of groups right off the bat, and you're interested in everything that's going on. Like, you want to know what's this mother daughter, what's their story. So it is nice in that scene with Will and his dad. It's like, oh, hey, a family that isn't completely messed up. They seem
Right.
good. It's a nice change of pace.
You're absolutely right. It is. And you know, and it's great seeing a guy like Rayal Tagger on this because I don't think we see him nearly enough in General Hospital.
Yeah. I admit, I'm not as dialed into GH as you are, but I do know that he on that show, yeah.
Rayal Andrews, not Rayal Tagger, sorry. And then, you know, there's a phone call that comes in, and it's almost like Will's dad asks him about Vivian, and then Vivian's dad calls
Yeah, we hear a
about
lot of it, but we haven't seen her yet. As
right.
of now, like, we're hearing like little bits and pieces about her. We know that that Peter was kind of friends with her. It seems like, like, and it looks as if Will wants to be more than friends with her, but he's kind of hung up on Peter. And then you have Peter, who is clearly not interested in her in that sense, because he's got Liana and they seem to be, doing their things. So we know a lot about Vivian. We just haven't seen her yet. But they're setting up the character really well. It's like, hey, she's, a nice girl, clearly, this nice guy is into her, like, you're automatically kind of thinking like she's going to be like kind of a heroine. We just haven't seen her yet. So
Right. And the fact, you know, so, you know, her father's looking for her, and you know, so he calls Will, which is one of her good friends, and you know, he says no, he hasn't seen her, but you know, we'll find out more about her later on. So in season one, it basically starts at season one after you see Janice and Liana in the car. You see Brian and Zoe. Brian doesn't really have a big part in the Bay, but he's all over the Bay the beginning,
yeah,
which I
in a
thought was kind of interesting.
organized way. Brian seems to be a little like he's got a lot of stuff going on, and he seems a little scattered. Like, like he's going through a lot, and Zoe kind of establishes that with him, but establishes that to the audience at least. Like, when she's trying to just say like, oh, he's going through a lot right now, maybe we shouldn't confront him about. At the same time, it's like he's got. You can tell he's like trying to like pull off this big thing, and I think he's struggling with it quite a bit.
He definitely is, because not only is he, you know, not only is the wedding day coming up, but also in episode one, you see him abduct, you know, Charles Shaughnessy's character, Elliot's daughter, you know,
Yeah.
daughter of the police commissioner, which I did not see coming at all.
It's kind of like it's a bit of a twist, because you don't really expect this kind of handsome, nice dude to be like, Mr. But oh, hey, he's a villain. Oh, hey, something's up. And we do find out exactly, we get hints, or more than hints, as to what exactly went down between him and Isabella, and why there's kind of this situation between them. But
Yes.
you can tell that like he's kind of like improvising a little bit and kind of on the fly and not really sure what his next move is. And he keeps on telling Zoe, you have to trust me, you have to trust me, I can tell you I have a plan, but I can't. It's like, do you have a plan? Like, do you know what you're doing? Like, he seems like,
So that gives Zoe pause because she's like, I'm not going to marry you until you're honest with me.
smart girl. You know, it's setting the tone for Zoe too. I really like how they just established that she's just not putting up with this.
Exactly.
Understand, because the flashback sequence that they do to the engagement party from hell,
Yes.
like, really indicates that, like, yeah, you know, you got to work this out before we walk down the aisle. Otherwise, we're going to have some problems.
Yeah, and she's having a nightmare about Igor, the guy that had bombs, he was a terrorist, had bombs strapped to his chest or
I
something.
mean, talk about, I love how when they did the flashback to the engagement party, it like starts out so just, you know, they have it where she's dreaming about, like, you know, Sarah's coming up to her and congratulating her, and you get to see the brother-in-law, you get to see Marley's husband there giving the toast, and it's all about true love. And I love how they cut from like true love to Peter and Liana just making out in the corner, just like, you know, like, I don't know if that's necessarily true love. But sure, whatever. But then it immediately cuts to the whole Igor thing, and then it just, the tone shifts right away, and it's just like, oh my gosh, like, this is horrible. Like, they went through like a legitimate nightmare, and she's flashing back, and it's just the way they structure that, I thought was super great.
Oh yeah, no, of course it is. It's absolutely fantastic. She's trying to figure out what Brian is doing. And she confronts him. She keeps asking, what's going on? But Brian almost gets saved by the bell because Mac calls to talk to Zoe. And now that this is what kind of confused me a little bit. Is Mac related to the Garretts?
I
Because
don't think so.
I thought they said his name was Mac Garrett for some reason. Hey, Nathan, welcome to the chat. Hopefully you enjoy this talk about the Bay. Hopefully you've been watching the Bay. Because he calls to talk to Zoe, I could have sworn he was part of the Garrett family, but I could be mistaken.
I always thought it was, well, because it's Zoe Johnson, Mackenzie Johnson. I think that and Zoe and Mac are brother and sister.
Oh, okay. All right. So that makes more sense now. All right.
Yeah. So I don't think that he's directly related to the gear, unless there was a twist that I missed. I don't think that he's related to them. I think that it's just through marriage, through you know, potentially the
Yeah.
potential marriage, you know.
Okay, that makes better sense. All right. And then Janice talks to Liana about her dad being Nelson.
And that was a big kind of, because we don't have that information in the first episode. We know obviously that, like, they have a, you know, they have a kind of screwed up relationship, and you know, there are tense between them and they're fighting, but we didn't know about the whole dad's, that was you know, just laying that out there for us right away, which, you
Yeah.
know, twist, but also says, like, explains a lot, you
Yes.
know, kind of why everything is so, you know, fractured between them right now and everything. So kind of, you know, and then you have, like, you know, just Janice kind of getting some of her backstory a little bit as well. You
Yeah.
know, we find out, you know, she was a young mom, and obviously based on like the casting, you know, young mom, but, you know, poor, and also, you know, worried that the dad would sue for custody, but we don't know who the father is yet. And I can't, I'm trying to
I
remember,
thought
like,
they brought up that we do know the father, Lee Nelson, who is Sarah's ex-husband.
but they don't reveal it. She doesn't say, like, you know, the father is, she doesn't say the name. She doesn't reveal it, like,
Oh,
there.
I thought she did because later in the episode,
Anyway,
what was
and
that?
that's popular. Like, Zoe's like asking about the, you know, or not Zoe,
That's right.
Lee is
Leon,
asking
you're
about,
right.
or they're kind of
A
talking
couple
about the
episodes
dad,
later. Yeah.
but it's all, yeah, it's all just like, you know, your dad, but they don't actually reference him by name in that, you know, moment just yet. I'm trying to remember if they did in the first episode or not.
No.
And the father does wind up, but we, I think, as an audience at this point, we're still kind of in the dark as to
You're right.
maybe we're piecing it together, but it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, because I think it's in episode 4 that they reference that Lee Nelson is the father. So, spoiler if you haven't seen episode 4 yet. Janice comes clean to Liana. Liana tells her mom to get out of her hospital room. She's just like, now, why didn't you tell me? And The same thing that a lot of parents tell their kids. I was waiting for you to be 18 because I wanted you to make your own decision. And,
Mind about what you wanted me to hate you then,
right.
but hate you when I turned 18. Just even like that dialogue and that just kind of oof, like it's
That's
just it,
realistic. That's something that happens
oh
when,
yeah. Big family secrets revealed, big kind of revelations and things like that. It's obviously gonna, cause some tension between them. And, the first scene we see of them, they're fighting. It's like obviously that's like their relationship at this stage. So, but they have a lot of drama going on.
they do. They absolutely do. All right. So in episode one, when after Brian abducts Isabella, I actually thought it was Brian that goes back into the house to look through the box that was left there. It wasn't Brian. It was another guy in a leather jacket. Was
Another leather jacket who comes into play big time.
yeah. And was that Steve Jensen?
Yes.
Okay. That's
Which
what I thought.
I'm sorry, the Days of Our Lives fan in me cracks up a little bit. Steve Jensen being played by it just
Being played
his
by Matthew Ashford, who plays, yeah.
other now he's playing a character named Steve who wears a leather jacket. Jensen Johnson, I don't know, just cracked me up.
I didn't even put two and two together on that one. So I thought that was,
Kind of a sneaky little reveal for him
yeah.
and his character. Oof. Matt Ashford knows how to play a bad guy so well.
But see,
Just.
that's so now I'm curious as to so and of course I'm sure it's going to be revealed through time as I continue through the Bay the beginning. But as we start the Bay, Steve Jensen is married to Sarah Garrett. So if I guess, I'm trying to figure out where does that happen? Is he married to her now?
From what I remember, it's like a little, I think he's a little bit more removed from the Garretts at this, like he's more
Yeah.
involved with Brian, with the son, versus his involvement with Sarah. And I think once it gets into kind of the like original, it's weird to say original, but like the main series, like the bulk of this, that then he becomes more directly involved with Sarah herself versus just her son.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's definitely, but his just he's not in the episode like all of that much in episode two, but he's in it enough to just set the tone that this guy is he's got kind of a, I mean, what's her name? Isabella says as much,
Yeah.
like who's the creep? And then
Exactly.
Brian doesn't know that Steve was even there. Just like, the fact that like, he's totally caught off guard by the fact that like he came over and like into that creepy dungeon basement space.
Yeah.
Is kind of, acting, in all of this as well. It throws him, and it's just like, oh, okay, this guy is like kind of, he's playing chess. These other guys are playing checkers. He knows something. He's digging around. He's up to stuff, and
Yeah.
just gives off a sinister vibe.
Harry, because he comes in, to that room that Brian is holding Isabella, and like you said, she asks about the creep, and that's obviously Steve. So, and he comes in and he unties her and has her write a letter on her own stationery, to her father, saying that she's leaving the Bay City for a while, and then ties her back up. And then, we see Brian come in with food, like any, hostage
Yeah,
handler.
he's like he's I mean, I'm not saying what he did was a good thing, but he's at least trying to like be like, here's some food. We're doing this because. And then the reveal about Brian and Isabella and why all of that is going on in the first place.
Yeah.
You learn Isabella, because we've seen her scared, obviously, and kind of in like these like panic mode back in episode one, and then obviously when Steve is with her. But then we get to the stage where she is just straight up feisty
Yeah.
and going at, just both barrels going after Brian. And we see this different side to the character, which is like, it's really fun. It's like, she's just like she hard ass and she's like, tired of all of this and trying to figure out, my father's the police commissioner and all of this. Like she becomes like just sassy with him versus the scared, scared way she was with Steve.
And
So
so am I right to assume that Brian cheated on Zoe with Isabella?
I think it's kind of implied with the little flashback that we get, just even and then too, the way that they, that whole thing was kind of interesting. It's like you've got the kind of, it looks like there's like camera flashes in the background. There's like photographs or some sort of evidence. I can't exactly remember,
That's what
but
I'm thinking, yeah.
yeah, like, you know, it's documented that they, were fooling around and
Yeah.
decided to, like, document some of that stuff, which probably not the best choice.
Yeah.
And yeah, it looks as if it's, because she flat out says, like, well, would your fiance be thrilled if, like, she found out the truth? I mean, she is just like, and then you got Brian, who's just kind of like trying to pick up the pieces here, trying to like keep some semblance of his plan intact. But it's, you can tell he's just kind of realizing he's in over his head a little bit.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So after that, we see Elliot, played by the fantastic Charles Shaughnessy,
Yes.
who and here's the thing, is like Charles Shaughnessy, obviously we last saw him as, well, he made a brief cameo on Days as Shane Donovan,
Brief. We want to see Shane.
but we also did see
To
him
see Shane back on campus. Like, come on, it's been too long.
for and we did see him for a much longer run on General Hospital as the evil Victor Cassadine.
Yes.
But
And so that arc with him, he was fantastic. I mean, it was such a,
oh, absolutely.
yeah.
He's a fantastic actor, and of course,
On. At the end of the day, it's also Mr. Sheffield. So.
okay, that's what I was just about to say. Everybody knows him as Mr. Sheffield. So Elliot tried to get an APB put out on his daughter being missing. He keeps getting the runaround saying it's too early and all this other stuff.
Bad day for law enforcement with daughters in basic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mac's daughter, and they established that Mac is a detective too in that
Yes.
little scene, because it's like, I'm not Mac. Do I look like I'm Mac? Like, his daughter may be missing, but my daughter is missing too. Like, so.
Exactly. And then he gets confronted by the mayor. The mayor proposes for him to become commissioner.
The way that they introduced the mayor there, I thought was great. Just he comes in and it's just, because they obviously the series, I mean, the episode itself is only like what, 20 minutes long. So they do have to make the most of every little, and they have this guy just come in, set the tone for him right off the bat. You can tell he's like kind of wheeling and dealing and knows how to pull strings.
Yep.
And he wants to see his own agendas kind of go through. And he doesn't even have that much dialogue, but just the way that he kind of carries that
Yeah.
whole thing. And he also references Lex. Clearly he's not happy with the current commish,
Yeah.
Lex Martin, who, Tristan
Yes.
Rogers, which yes, I love his character on this. So I'm
I
excited
do
to kind
too. It's such a departure from what we see him on General Hospital, and I think he does Y&R as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm not sure about, well, I obviously I know him from GH, not sure about YNR, but
Yeah.
he's so good on this, I think. And it was, just hearing though that like clearly the mayor is not, and you can see, I want to say that relationship kind of carries through a little bit over to the, main series, but I
Yeah.
can't remember Ed. And but yeah, it just the mayor, they set that tone right off the bat with him, which I thought was great. And it's just a
And
quick, you
the
get it.
mayor is played by Matthew Coster, who actually just recently passed away.
Yes. I
So.
know down the road, later seasons, much like, the most more recent ones, I believe the last two, a different casting from the mayor, who's also, I can't remember the actor specifically, but obviously though, but he sets the tone right off the bat as just this like,
Yeah.
character that, you can tell that his like, even though it's Mayor Madison, he
Yeah.
goes by, it's not Garrett. So you don't
Yes.
necessarily know that he's like, linked up with that whole thing, but you can tell right off the bat that he's just,
Absolutely. Yes.
and in it for himself. So
After that, Will found Vivian and he goes to let Mac know. Apparently there was a car accident, and Vivian was either thrown from the car or just found in the car. We don't
can't
see
remember,
the accident.
but yeah, I mean, just his being so frantic too. I love like that little kind of, it's like we're finding out all of this stuff, but he can barely say a word. He's
Yeah.
just completely, just
Kind of.
shell shocked. And the poor guy, I mean, between seeing, fight with the 911 thing with Liana, now this, like, off-screen car accident. He's just finding all these women in peril lately. The poor guy, no wonder he's, you know, just kind of a mess.
Yeah.
But I noticed, and so he's holding, though, is that the sweater that was referenced in the previous? Is that what he's holding?
Yes, or I believe so.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to verify that because I saw him holding the fabric. I just couldn't, you know, I was yeah. like, wait, that's the mystery sweater.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is a mystery sweater. So after that, we kind of close out the episode. Sarah goes to visit Peter in the hospital. He still doesn't remember her. He questions why she thinks his mother, and then ends up kicking her out of the room. She
brings
a bag of clothes and supplies. What was that?
Just poor Sarah in that thing. But poor Peter, too. I mean, because obviously, you know, between the drugs and the seizure, he's not, you know, he's struggling right now.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, they have like the cartoon kind of sounds coming from the TV. It's like he's a little kid, you know?
In the bed eating cereal.
You know, and then he's like, you know, just like, stranger, you're a stranger. Like, you know, it's like he's like a little guy who's just confused and wants his mom. And, you know, she's right there.
Yeah.
But he has no idea who she is. And you feel for the guy, but you feel for Sarah too. Cause it's just like, oh my God, like, you know, son doesn't remember me. And she's trying, you know, she brings him the clothes and she's just trying to be there for him. It's not
such a weird seeing that, because in the next series, the next iteration, Pete is so close to Sarah.
Yeah, but it does kind of, you know, like over the course of like the beginning, kind of, it does kind of, from what I remember of it, it does kind of, you know, they circle back. It's like it takes him kind of going through this to gain that closeness with her. I remember. So, but yeah, here they're really, I mean, there's just, you know, and you feel for them both. And then when it cuts to, you know, like she kind of just, you know, flees, like, you know, threat of security coming after her. So she's just out of there. And then you have Pete, who's immediately just like pulling that IV out of his arm. He's like,
oh yeah, he's leaving. Yep.
Yeah. But then seeing Liana in the hall.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and where are you going? And then you wonder, like, are they going to make an escape attempt together? Are they both going to take up? They've both got like family that they don't want to deal with at all that are currently at the hospital. It's like, what's those two aside from more making out?
Right. Exactly.
So.
So we end the episode. Sarah runs to someone and starts making out with them while a girl watches through the window.
Well, you got, I mean, that mystery man comes up and, you know, Sarah's like, and heartbreak in like the few, like she's out there and just crying her heart out. And you're just like feeling for her. And then all of a sudden she looks up, sees this man, and just immediately total relief and just so happy. Mm-hmm. And they start like, you know, like, and whatever kind of, because whatever tension that, because Marley in the previous episode, you know, obviously contacted, you know, her friend in Surrey, England to come, you know, not friend, but father to come kind of, you know, remedy the situation. So if you assume that, you know, that the, there is still that closeness, there is still, they're not as estranged as you would think, given the way that, like, given the way that they talk in the introduction sequence in the first episode about that family and how disjointed they are and screwed up, you can tell that there's still a connection between Sarah and this, and Marley's dad.
Yeah. And is Marley's dad Lee Nelson?
Yes.
Yes. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, the angel face, I love you. I mean, it's like, okay, you guys are still clearly, you know, you are clearly still into each other.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And she is just very relieved to see him. And just that whole, like, sequence was so lovely. And then they cut to Janice looking out at them. And it's just
okay,
like,
so oh. That was Janice inside.
Yep.
So. Yep.
Out of the two of them, and then you kind of
think the Nardo Ramos, is that who that is?
Who
was kissing?
So Lee and Sarah were outside, then they have Janice looking out at them.
Oh, so that was Lee. Okay, for some reason I thought it was a different guy. I didn't think it was Lee that.
No. As far as I can tell, that was, no, the angel face, that's Lee.
Okay. All right.
That's, yeah, no, because it's kind of set in the main series that he was the, especially in even more recent kind of seasons, because they do callbacks and they kind of, you know, reference previous. It's
Yep.
kind of established that like there's like the kind of lost love soulmate kind of deal between the two of them, and like clearly like they're connected, and
Yes.
you see that in this, but it does kind of come into play in the main series as well. It's just there's some stuff that goes down.
Yeah.
So,
Exactly.
but yeah, but Janice looking at, so you figure out right then and there, though, obviously Janice is like, you know, the reason why she's got some issues with Sarah. Now we
Absolutely.
know. So, but yeah,
Absolutely.
great way to like kind of, you know, free, and then they did like the freeze frame on the two of them, you know, just in their like kind of, you know, blissful kiss moment or whatever. But yeah, they're not going to be that happy that much longer.
No, they're not. And then that ends episode two.
It was quick too.
But
That's the
it goes by very quick. That's what I've noticed about this entire show.
part to begin with, but it does, you know, you watch it, it's just like, wait, it's over?
Yeah.
No. And then on to episode three.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And episode three is actually kind of Pete's origin story, if you want to call it that. You kind of learn more about
Yeah.
how he found out that he was a Garrett. You see him interact with other people in New York City. And it's you know, it's got a subtitle, and we'll talk about that next week.
That's
For those
like I kind of remember like little details here and there, but it's been a bit, so I'm excited to kind of do a rewatch on that and just kind of, you know, refamiliarize,
Yeah, no,
because
absolutely. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the show. I'm glad that I was told about the Bay the beginning, because it does tie a lot together.
it does. And you know, like there's certain elements I know that like kind of get cast aside in like the main series that are from this, and but you know, there's a big kind of chunk of time between like, you know, when they were filming this versus when they were filming, and stuff changes and twists and storylines kind of, you know, some stuff works, some stuff doesn't. But overall, I mean, if this was just, if I just happened to pull this up on YouTube, you know, just kind of randomly back when it was initially like kind of just streaming there exclusive, I'd just be like, well, okay, I'm gonna keep going with this. So
Exactly.
that little piece.
So do you have any closing thoughts as we end out episode two?
Well, I kind of got a chance to kind of expand, you know, just I'm really just impressed with the way that they handle, because like exposition and stuff, when you're trying to like lay the groundwork, especially like pilot episodes of series and things like that, it's like you can get it can get clunky, but it has to, because you have to explain everything. The way that they go about doing it this way, though, I mean, obviously it's a soap, so there's going to be twists, there's going to be turns, there's going to be suspense and drama and all of that and cliffhangers, but just the way that like they structure just how they introduce all these characters and how they twine everybody in, it's all like very just fluid, and
Yes.
it's very, you know, they set that tone up so well, and you just genuinely like, you know, and maybe it's just because it's a shorter episode and they got to make the like maximize the scenes that they've got, but it doesn't feel like, you know, it's like clunky or like they're hitting you over the head with like these like, you know, origin stories for these guys. You're just, it's just developing naturally, and it's
Always
really cool.
going very well. Yeah.
So I like that. I like that style, because it just keeps you wanting more, but it lets you know in certain terms who these people are, like right off the bat.
Yeah.
And the thing too, it's like these characters, even if some of them, like, because obviously a lot of the people that are in this chunk of this, like not prequel, but Bay the Beginning, do wind up obviously in the main series, and it's like they stay true to who they are. You're not gonna, you know, you're not seeing like, you know, big departures
Right.
with Liana, with these characters that go over to the next piece. So
But yeah, that's about it. So, for those of you for watching and then listening as well, thank you for watching. Again, go ahead, hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. Also, just to kind of get a couple of things up and at them, for those of you who are wrestling fans, we are officially, Suds in the Squared Circle is officially an affiliate of WWE Shop, which is a Fanatics experience. Go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch, and that is our affiliate link. So you can buy an awesome KO shirt for Kevin Owens. And with Royal Rumble coming up this coming Saturday, get all your gear from Fanatics, from WWE Shop. And we get a commission, so help us out with that as well. But again, if you're listening on the podcast feed, give us a 5-star review. And I'd like to welcome Kim into the fold as part of Suds and Sports, Suds Media, Suds in the Sports Circle.
It's a lot of fun. I'm glad, you know, we're kicking this off, and, you know, I'm looking forward to delving into the rest of the series and babbling and spitballing and just kind of talking about, you know, because it's fun as hell.
Absolutely. I think you nailed it right there. It's fun as hell. All right. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to put the anchor in the water, and we're going to leave the dockside. So for Kim, I'm Vinny. We'll see you next Tuesday on Dockside at the Bay. Have a great day, everybody.
Have a great day. See you next week.
Oh, you know what? Before I end it, I apologize. How could people reach you on social media?
So I am best reached as far as soap stuff goes. I am on Twitter. My handle is Misfit 8690 on Twitter. I think that's it. My initials KP is the main name, and I see that more often than I see the handle, but I want to say it's Misfit. And that's where I'm best reached. I'm not really doing the Instagram, Facebook thing, kind of. My Instagram photo is a picture of my cat. So it's really not, you know, I don't post very frequently there, but for soapy kind of related stuff, and obviously for, Dockside at the Bay, you know, related sort of Twitter for sure. And where I'm best accessible.
All right. And again, for those of you, this Tumblr right here, Suds in the Squared Circle, if you are interested or any other kinds of personalized tumblers, you can go to creations by Riss, RISS at gmail.com. That's who made this, and she does awesome work. You can find her on Facebook as well, Creations by Riss, RISS. All right. So again, take two. Have a great day, and we will see you next week, Dockside at the Bay.
See you next week. Take care.
Okay, the live stream has ended. It is over. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.